Welcome you. We're diving deep today into your Caribbean travels, all those amazing trips you took.
Wow, yeah, it looks like you've really explored the region quite a bit, huh?
Yeah, you've given us so much blog posts and like your personal thoughts on all these islands. We've got Aruba, Bonaire, Curacao, Antigua, the British Virgin Islands, the Bahamas, Barbados, Cuba, St. Lucia. It's amazing.
And don't forget that overview of the Caribbean Sea itself really gives us a good foundation.
It does. So what we're doing today is kind of unpacking it all, you know, trying to figure out like what makes each of these places tick, what makes them special.
Yeah. Exactly. What makes them unique, right? And maybe help figure out what type of Caribbean experience might be the perfect fit for different types of travelers.
Right. So we've got these firsthand accounts, a window into these cultures, the pace of life, all those different ways to experience the beauty there.
And it really is so much more than just those picture-perfect beaches, right? We're going to be looking at how different travel styles, like the structured cruise versus maybe the freedom of sailing yourself. Or even like the ease of those all-inclusive resorts, how all those things shape the experience.
Absolutely. I mean, when you think Caribbean, it's just instant sunshine, right? Beautiful turquoise water, that vibrant mix of cultures, and you can do anything. You can have adventure, you can have
So
relaxation.
much
So
possibilities.
let's chart our course island by island, and I'm thinking we start with the ABCs, Aruba, Bonaire, and Curacao. Your notes here talk about a 7-day cruise from Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah, that sounds fantastic. And one thing that really jumps out is how the climate changed as the cruise went south. As you get closer to the Venezuelan coast, where those islands are, you really start to feel that shift, that tropical intensity really hits you.
Interesting. It's like you're gradually easing into it. And it sounds like cruises give you that flexibility too. You know, you can be super active exploring each port or just chill on deck and enjoy the ride. Perfect for first timers, maybe.
Totally. It's like a sampler platter of the Caribbean.
Love that. Okay, so Grand Cayman, a day trip from the ship, Parliament House, the rum distillery. Gotta have that Caribbean rum.
It's a must.
Those crystal caves must be something.
They are pretty spectacular.
And then Aruba, island tour, and then Eagle Beach. Sounds idyllic.
A classic for a reason.
Okay, so Curacao, there was a coach trip, right? Lots of history and culture there. But what really stands out in your notes is that description of the beach near the retirement village with the Dutch and American tax exiles. What a unique little mix.
Right. It really gives you a sense of the island's history and how it's connected to different parts of the world.
It does. Okay, so Bonaire, this seems like a highlight, bicycle tour, flamingos, but the real star, the snorkeling.
Amazing, right?
Just 20 feet from the shore, and you said it was the best snorkeling of the whole cruise. What made it so good?
Well, Bonaire is really committed to preserving its underwater world. And it shows, I think it's those easy access moments to that kind of natural beauties that really stick with you.
Absolutely. Makes it extra special. And overall, this ABCs and Cayman trip, you really felt that warmth of the local people, and those cultural influences are so distinct, right? British and Cayman, Dutch in the ABCs.
It's fascinating how those influences shape each island.
It is. And you said they all share that laid-back Caribbean vibe, a nice change from Europe.
Total opposite.
And English being widely spoken, that helps a lot too, whether you're on a tour or going solo.
Makes things so much easier, yeah.
Okay. Moving east, Antigua, 14-day vacation this time, and once again, perfect weather for the outdoors.
Can't beat that tropical climate.
So the currency is the Eastern Caribbean dollar, which is pegged to the US dollar.
Keeps things simple.
But your sandals experience, it was all inclusive, right? So you didn't really need to deal with cash much at all.
Makes it nice and easy.
Even with the no tipping policy, although there was that $28 USD departure tax.
Always got to factor that in.
Now, the recommendations for Antigua, lots of snorkeling again. It seems like that's a recurring theme in your travels. And taking an island tour, see more than just the resort. Good advice.
Absolutely. Get a feel for the whole island.
And practical tip, always drink bottled water, right?
When in doubt, yeah, always play it safe.
Right. Now for something totally different. Sailing in the British Virgin Islands.
That sounds amazing.
A 7-day flotilla holiday with sunsail around New Year's. Perfect timing for the Western Caribbean climate. Sounds pretty active, though. So a flotilla, that means you're sailing with a bunch of other boats, but each boat's independent, right?
Exactly. It's a nice balance. You have your own boat, your own space, but you're part of a group. There's a lead boat that can help out if you need it. And there's a social aspect to it, too.
Makes sense. And your account really captures that feeling of freedom, accomplishment, navigating the boat yourself. You even mentioned some sailing terms like halyards. What are those again?
That those are the ropes, the ones you use to hoist the sails.
Right. See, learning new things already. So you rated the activity level a 3 out of 5 for flotilla, 4 for solo sailing. Definitely more hands-on than just lounging by the pool.
Yeah. You're definitely more engaged.
Your itinerary included Tortola, Virgin Gorda, Peter, and Norman Islands. And your crew was four people, some first-time sailors.
Got to start somewhere, right?
And with over 60 islands in the BVI, there's definitely a lot to see. You mentioned the warmth of the people, the charming shops and restaurants, the fresh seafood, and that perspective from the sea must be incredible.
It is. It gives you a whole different understanding of the scale and the geography of the islands.
So, you did mention the recovery efforts from Hurricane Irma back in 2017, a good reminder that these beautiful places are also facing real challenges. And the practical tip, have cash on hand because of connectivity issues. Always good to be prepared.
Absolutely.
So English is widely spoken, but you also mentioned Creole among the locals. Adds another layer to the cultural mix.
For sure. And I love the description of sailing as like glamping on the water. Captures it perfectly.
It does. Okay, let's head to the Bahama. This time, it was a 14-day stay at a Sandals resort on New Providence Island near Nassau.
Sounds lovely.
So close to Florida, with all those islands, most of them uninhabited, another unique part of the Caribbean.
It really is. You know, the Bahamas has this interesting blend, British traditions, but also a bit of an American outlook. Probably from being so close to the US, it's a popular spot for weddings too.
And of course, perfect for sailing and diving, subtropical climate, those amazing turquoise waters, and the Bahamian dollar is 1-to-1 with the US dollar. Makes things easy.
Convenience.
And no surprise, you highlighted the friendliness of the Bahamian people.
Always a plus.
Now, you mentioned you could save money by traveling during hurricane season, but of course, you risk bad weather. The list of things to do, though, beaches, boat tours, diving Atlantis, it's all there, but your top recommendation, the beaches. What is it about the Bahamian beaches that's so special?
It's that classic Caribbean image, those incredible soft white sands, that crystal clear turquoise water. Almost unreal.
Sounds like paradise. Okay, next stop, Barbados, a place you've visited multiple times, including a 13-day trip back in November 2021. And it seems like the Sandals all-inclusive is your go-to there. So four previous visits, what keeps drawing you back to Barbados?
I think it's just got a special charm. You know, it's the most easterly of the Lesser Antilles, that unique geography, long British history, though it did just become a republic in 2021.
Recently.
It's got this interesting blend of Caribbean culture and British influence. And it's a relatively small island, but you get so much variety in the landscape. It's surprising.
You also made an interesting point comparing European and Caribbean vacations. The sun and sand are different, the drinks are different, and that whole pace of service, much more relaxed in the Caribbean.
A whole different vibe. You're on island time.
Island time, exactly. And the list of things to do in Barbados, swimming with turtles, snorkeling in Carlisle Bay, they have shipwrecks there, right?
Yeah, pretty incredible.
And catamaran tours, surfing lessons, even for beginners at Frights Bay.
Perfect spot to learn.
Then there's the Oystons Friday night fish fry. Got to experience that. And the history, Sam Lord's Castle, St. Nicholas Abbey, even Harrison's Cave and the Hunties Gardens. So much variety. Oh, and the tap water is safe to drink, but bottled water is recommended when you're out and about.
Good to know. And again, sailing offshore for snorkeling, a top recommendation. What is it about offshore snorkeling that's so great?
Well, often when you go further out, it's less crowded, the water's even clearer, and you get a much wider variety of marine life. Makes sense. Okay. Time for Cuba, your first Caribbean experience. 4 days in Havana, 10 days in Varadero, August. Just before a hurricane. Sounds like a pretty intense introduction.
It was. We stayed at a Sandals in Cuba. All inclusive, of course, at the time. It was the cheapest Sandals. A joint venture they had, water sports were included, even diving. And you didn't need any certification back then. That was pretty unique, actually.
Wow.
That's actually what got me into diving. I got my PADI certification later on.
So Cuba really sparked that passion. That's awesome.
It did.
Now, the currency situation in Cuba, a bit complicated. They use the Cuban peso for locals and the Cuban convertible peso for tourists, and don't exchange US dollars there. Good advice.
Definitely stick to euros or Canadian dollars if you can. Much better rates.
Okay. You emphasize that Cuba is mainly a cash-based society and to be aware of street hustling, but again, the warmth and friendliness of the Cuban people really shines through.
It does. Even with the economic realities, you might see poverty outside the resorts, but that human connection, the genuine warmth, that really stands out. For a long time, there wasn't this interaction between locals and tourists. So it's a unique experience now.
You also mentioned some practical things. US credit cards might not be accepted everywhere, and there are photography restrictions around sensitive areas. Always good to know the rules.
Absolutely. Be respectful. And I have to recommend spending time in Havana. It's just got this incredible energy.
Okay, last but not least, St. Lucia. You typically visit for 7 to 10 days in March or April, and Sandals Grande is a favorite, although the airport transfer time is a bit of a drag.
It is a bit of a trek, but there are three Sandals resorts on the island. and they have shuttle service between them. So you can try different restaurants, different vibes.
Very cool.
And of course, the all-inclusive package. Water sports, land activities, all there. The excursions, though, those are a must. Rodney Bay Marina, Friday night street party. And you got to see the Pitons, those iconic peaks, and the Soufriere region, botanical gardens, a drive-in volcano, even a catamaran trip.
So much to do.
Zip lining, Segway tours, if you're feeling adventurous. You can even climb Gros Piton.
Wow. So the currency, ETH Caribbean dollar again, but U.S. dollars are accepted. One U.S. dollar to three EC dollars. And or worse, no need for cash at Sandals. You described the people who's not just friendly, but extremely tactile in their friendliness. That's interesting.
It's true. They're very warm and expensive.
And again, that mix of British influence and an American outlook. Okay, your top recommendations, the Pitons, obviously, and the diving around them, the Gros Islet street party, the beaches. What is it about the diving off the Pitons that's so special?
It's like the underwater landscape is just as dramatic as above water. You get these steep drop-offs, coral reefs clinging to the volcanic rock, and the marine life, it's just teeming with activity. It's really unforgettable.
Okay, now let's zoom out. The Caribbean Sea itself, you gave us a great overview. It's a major part of the Atlantic Ocean, bordered by all these countries and islands. And it's interesting, it's sometimes called the American Mediterranean, but it's not really accurate, is it?
No, not quite.
The hydrology and climate are different. Antillean Caribbean Sea is the more precise term. So all these underwater ridges and basins, do those affect the depth of the water and the incredible colors?
Absolutely. Underwater topography plays a huge role. The depth, the clarity. That all affects how we perceive the colors. So you get those brilliant turquoise shallows over sandbars, and the deeper trenches, those have those darker, more intense blues.
Like an artist's palette.
And the exchange of water with the Atlantic through those passages, the Anegada Passage, the Windward Passage, that's vital for the overall health of the sea, the circulation. And then you've got those trade winds driving those surface currents. And those currents, they influence the Gulf Stream. And that impacts climate and weather patterns throughout the whole region.
So it's all connected. And, you know, we feel those effects when we travel there, that tropical climate, the variations in rainfall, and, of course, hurricane season. Peaks around September, good to keep in mind.
Definitely factor that in.
And the plant life, mangroves, those iconic coconut palms, and the bird life. It's a picture of a rich ecosystem, the coral reefs. They came from the Panamanic Seaway millions of years ago, and now they support all this amazing marine life, sea turtles, manatees, lobsters, all those colorful fish. And then there's the environmental challenges, coral bleaching pollution. But there are collaborative efforts to protect it all, like the Cartagena Convention. And tourism, it plays such a huge role in the Caribbean economy.
It's the lifeblood for many of these islands.
It's a delicate balance, right? Welcoming visitors, but preserving what makes it special.
Absolutely. Sustainable tourism is key.
So you included some general advice for first-time sailors, and you emphasized that you don't need to be an expert, just be able to swim, be reasonably fit and willing to learn, and most importantly,
relax and enjoy the ride.
Exactly. And you made a real effort to avoid the technical jargon. Makes it much less daunting, but the message is clear. Sailing, especially in those warm Caribbean waters, it's pure freedom.
There's nothing quite like it.
So we've talked about cruising, the all-inclusive experience, and now sailing, each one, a unique way to experience the Caribbean.
Catering to different tastes, different travel styles.
And as we went through all your trips, some common themes really popped up. The warmth and friendliness of the people everywhere, that laid-back Caribbean lifestyle, the importance of tourism to these islands, and the fact that English is so widely spoken.
Makes it really accessible for a lot of travelers.
It does, and all those recommendations for beaches, water activities, snorkeling diving, local attractions, food. It's a great starting point for anyone planning their own trip. And you touched on this idea of appreciating home after you return.
Yeah. It makes you grateful for what you have.
But also, you know, the real joy is in the journey itself.
It's about the experiences you have along the way.
Exactly. Well, you, this deep dive into your Caribbean adventures has been amazing for us, too.
So much to discover.
We've explored all those different islands you visited, all the ways to experience them, from a structured cruise to independent sailing. And we've highlighted some absolute must-sees and must-dos.
Don't forget that incredible snorkeling in Bonaire.
How could we? Or the history of Havana and the majestic beauty of St. Lucia's Pitons.
Each island with its own personality.
And what's fascinating is they all have that Caribbean spirit, but each one offers something different.
A different blend of culture and landscape and activities. It's remarkable. So much packed into a relatively small area.
So, after all this, what kind of Caribbean journey do you envision for yourself now?
That's the question, isn't it?
Maybe an adventurous sailing trip or a more laid-back cultural deep dive on one specific island.
And, thinking about all those layers of history, culture, and nature we've encountered, it makes you wonder, how will these islands continue to evolve? How will they find that balance between tourism and preserving their unique identities?
Big questions.
Definitely.
Well, thank you so much for sharing your travel stories and taking us on this amazing deep dive into the Caribbean.
It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for listening, everyone.